Zhao-san, you better give me a beat to start the show before I tell you about my coworker with the skid marks in her sundress.
Hi everyone, welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Zhao-san.
Hypergamy is a social science term that describes when someone marries or dates someone of higher social status or sexual capital than themselves. The opposite of hypergamy is hypogamy, which is when someone marries someone of lower social status or class. Isogamy is when someone marries someone of the same social status.
Hi everyone, Jocelyn with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby. Yeah, keeping it real. Doing what we do, folks. Our show today will consist of two pretty good topics. One will be EDS, which we're going to start with in a second, and the other has to do with the three social classes. So let's get started, shall we? Now, EDS, what does it stand for? It stands for elder-daughter syndrome. It's not a medical condition. However, it is something that men and women need to realize that may occur, and it will contribute to fatigue in a relationship. Now, what this means is that the woman might be exposed to a lot of responsibilities at a very early age in life, very young age. She may be put into a situation where she's actually taking on parental duties, the form of parentification. Not chores like a kid would normally have, but responsibilities and consequences, just like you had a job or something of that sort. Now, with this, she's responsible for her siblings. She's responsible, in some cases, for the parent. She is the go-to person. Now, this can be overwhelming for some, but also, there's some side effects from this. Now, there are support groups on the internet, on Facebook, and different groups in regards to this particular situation. As I said, it's not a clinical condition, but is an experience that some women may face. Now, some men face this as well, but we're going to talk about women with this today in particular. The reason being is that, of course, as we know, women have been charged with being the moral compass of our society. They're supposed to be the people that would correct us, or that would be the moral consciousness of us in some degree. Now, women usually check other women, right? Woman wears an outfit that's too provocative, there's going to be another woman that's probably going to chastise her for that, as opposed to a man, unless he's a father or someone that's related to her. Because we know that we can say the wrong thing and it'll be interpreted the wrong way, or even if we approach that person, there may be some people that may have other overtures that are not so positive and not so flattering that they may assume, like the guy's trying to come on to her or something, even if he's telling her, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't wear that dress to church, as an example. Now, the thing is with this EDS is that there are certain characteristics, certain things that go along with this that we have to look at. One of them being is the way she's going to behave. Now, a lot of women that are exposed to a lot of adult situations at a very young age where they have to make decisions, but see, their hands are tied because they may have the responsibility but not the authority to do anything. Now, there are some parents that have actually delegated certain tasks for these young women that are in their teens, most often, that may say, well, you know, you need to go spank your sister, or you need to go spank your little brother. Now, this can foster a lot of resentment over the years coming, because what happens, the siblings that are downline may not feel as though their older sister had the authority to do this, because they appear just like they are, and they will lose more respect for the mother. Now, we see a lot of this dynamic in many single family households where the mom is the sole parent in the household. Now, another dynamic that you may encounter with this is that as these women age, guess what happens? Many of them never mature out of this particular environment, mindset. Therefore, they may go in life looking for a weaker husband, looking for someone that they can take care of, control. And believe it or not, a lot of these women will wind up treating their men like children. Now, there are others, however, that may choose to allow the man to be the dominant force. Whatever he says goes, because she's relieved, she's no longer dealing with the pressures of making decisions, of being the responsible one, of being the accountable one. So therefore, somebody else takes the blame, takes the fame, takes all of the rest of the responsibility. Now, usually the way it goes, the older child is usually the leader, pioneer, the advocate. The middle child is the peacemaker, the negotiator. And the baby child is basically the one that maybe both of the older siblings may envy, because things may not be so rigid for them. They may be mama's favorite, for instance. And they may get special treatment. And so, in that regard, that person may have to be taken care of. Some of you have probably heard this, where the mother, upon her deathbed, may say something to the eldest daughter, "Take care of my baby," meaning pamper my baby. And of course, there may be some resentment in that regard. Now, here's the thing, fellas. You may meet any one of these three archetypes when it comes to dating. You may meet the older sister that is very domineering, and it will be kind of difficult at best for her to compromise, because she's used to telling people what to do. Then you will have the mid-sibling that may be more of the negotiator, more of the person that takes on responsibilities that they really should not, that are undue, and suck up the cost associated with it. Now, some of you guys are not going to sit back and let your girl be used, or let your girl be in some way responsible for something she didn't do. That may be new to her, because she's always accustomed to taking on that role of being the person that will say, "Well, it's my fault. I'll just take it. I'll just take responsibility just to smooth things over." Now, you other guys may face the baby girl, the one that's pampered, the one that's spoiled. And after a while, you realize that, what is this person going to do without somebody at the helm? Because they don't know how to lead, because someone else has always done it for them. They don't know how to fend for themselves. Somebody's always done it for them. Some of you ladies complain about men like that, mama's boys, where you run into that problem. Or some of you guys with daddy's girls. Well, dad has spoiled her so much, in some cases, that the mother is jealous of the daughter, because the daughter's gotten a better ride than either the kids or even the spouse. And this can be challenging to deal with. And you don't want to come across because they're kind of innocent, but you don't want to look like you're going to be this mean guy barking out orders. And not only that, you will notice that many of these baby women, the babies, they may be very timid and fragile. It's like almost anything can make them cry, including the truth. And so they may not like you telling them, hey, you know, you're going to have to like put your shoulder to the wheel here. Oh, no, not me. Uh-uh. Because more than likely, these women are going to look for someone who's going to take care of them. Not always the case, but don't be surprised if you wind up with something like that. That is the case. Now, the other reality of this is some of these individuals may resent the fact that they're that way and try to go the opposite way. And you may notice that the elder daughter is now trying to be a little bit more, not necessarily submissive, but more compromising. It may be hard for her because the way she looks out is being that she's made decisions in life for others. She may feel as though, well, you know, I'm going to make these decisions for us in this relationship. This is the way this family's going to run. And the guy goes along. And then it might even get to the point where she says, well, you know, I need your paycheck every 2 weeks in order to pay the bills, in order to get everything structured, in order to get everything going. And for some men, this makes them feel a little bit inferior. It challenges their masculinity. And a woman who has these dominant characteristics, she must be careful as to not break his spirit. Some women do this deliberately because they're angry that they had to take on this role so early in life. So therefore, they go into relationships deliberately to find a man that they can lord over. There are others, however, that will try their best in order to pull it back a bit. Now, if you guys are finding difficulty in relating to each other, this is where you'll definitely need counseling in order to try to figure out the origin of the problem, to figure out what triggers the problem, and to figure out how you guys are going to manage it. Now, you will never be able to conquer it, because that's something that's been exposed to a person for a while. So they're going to have to work with you to do it. Now, if they're refusing counseling and you see this come up in a relationship, you know something is definitely wrong. Now, by the way, this can happen with men also. We'll have another podcast on that. But here's the thing. The other element of it is you don't know the depth of the exposure that that child may have. The elder child may have had to do things that would not be suitable for the siblings. I was reading a story years ago, and this woman actually was afraid of losing this man. He was about ready to go back to his wife. And the woman that he was having the affair with tried her best to keep him. She even got to the point of being so desperate that she allowed this man to sleep with her 16-year-old daughter, just so that she could keep him. He was helping pay the rent. He was doing a lot of other things for her. So therefore, she thought that her daughter would get over it. Well, the daughter wrote an article about that experience. And she was traumatized for life because of it. She had an aversion for older men. She only dated younger men, men that were 5 to 10 years her junior, that she could control as an adult woman. And she was talking about how she has to apologize to her boyfriend on a consistent basis because of the mistreatment that she meted out to him. And it's all stemmed from her childhood. Now, there's another element to this. Some of them have a false sense of adulthood. Depending on how young the child is exposed to this parentification, they will go out and try to start a family of their own. An older guy shows them some attention. They feel as though, well, you know, I've taken on adult duties, so I'm an adult. Not realizing that either the mom, her boyfriend, husband, or whoever is paying the bills, so she doesn't quite get it. Just because she washes the dishes, helps the kids with the homework, irons the kids' clothes, washes the clothes, delegate chores for the kids, even though she is taking on the role of mom when it comes down to doing the heavy lifting and heavy cleaning. And then there's some moms that actually feel as though, well, I put them in the world, so it's time for them to serve me. That entitlement thing. These will be the very moms that will come back later on in life after these kids have married and got themselves together and say, okay, it's your turn to take care of me. Here I am. Who am I living with? Where is my room? Now, the other thing you have to come to grips with too, with this, that middle child, if you're dating her, there may be some things that she may do behind your back, but she's trying to do it in the interest of good. She might be altruistic a bit, but it may hurt you as a couple. Lending a family member some money behind your back that you guys really can't afford to lend out. Things of that nature. Telling you about it later. The baby may be the one that's entitled. She's looking for a man that's gonna take her to a 5-star restaurant on the first date. Because she's been pampered. That's all she knows. So as she sees it, she's not really interested in a guy that's working and barely making it, that needs a partner to help him. She's shifting all the responsibility onto him to do everything. So what happens with these elder daughters, for the most part, at some point, they kind of get burned out because they've had so much responsibility at such a young age, and now they become a parent. And literally what they're doing is even rearing their own children. They're going through that process again because they did it earlier in life and now they're doing it again. And God help them if they have daughters or sons that dropped their grandkids off and now they're in their third cycle of parenting. This is how a lot of them get burned out. So many times, a lot of these women never had a life for themselves, per se. They were living for their mom at first, their family. And then they were living for the family they created. But they never had any time for themselves. So when they get into their 50s and 40s, they're looking at divorce. When those kids are old enough. And some of the parents are going to spoil their kids because they don't want their kids to grow up like they did, having to do all the work, not chores, work as an adult. And then you have others that say, well, it was good for me. Why in the hell can't you do it? And they pass that legacy on, unfortunately. Now, it becomes a tradition after a while, generation after generation does this, and it becomes normal. Not to mention some of the disrespect they may receive along the way, as the elder daughter might have earlier in life. Now, she can't show weakness to her siblings. So if she was assaulted or something like that, more than likely the mother is going to say, you can't be weak in front of the kids. So it can be a challenge. This is what a lot of women are holding inside of them, that they may not want to externalize because it would be too embarrassing and it would hurt too badly. So, fellas, when you see these women, you meet them after their divorces, and they don't necessarily want to get into a relationship right off the bat. You don't know what their story is, and their story just doesn't start, in many cases, with their last marriage. It more than likely, our last relationship, it probably started well before then. Not to mention the trauma they may have experienced in bad relationships along the way. Now, I know we like to marginalize and say, well, you know, everybody has their own trials and tribulations. That's true. But the way I look at it is, if they have support groups for women like this, it's a broader problem than you think. They were talking about something like this on NBC. I did a little bit more digging on it. And it is a thing. Now, we're going to talk in the next segment about the three social stratas. Now, in regard to the three social stratas that I was going to discuss with you, hypergamy is the first one. Hypergamy means that a person is looking to date someone that's of better social status than they are. It could be based on wealth. It could be based on perceived lifestyle. It could be based on beauty. It could be based on high moral standards, values, whatever the focal point is for that person to find intrinsic value in someone that they're reaching for. It could be fame, it could be notoriety. There's a host of things. It could be a combination of those things. The next group, hypogamy. I always get this one messed up. I think it's hypogeny. But what that is primarily, and please forgive me for the mispronunciation if I did so, this is for a person who's dating under their class. They're not reaching up, they're reaching down for someone. These individuals are looking for more or less power, control, manipulation, and influence over someone. Now, they could genuinely be looking for love. Who would you find doing this? A celebrity looking for an average person, not another celebrity. Now, the last one. I know I'm going to mess this up. Let me see what the last one is. You know what? The last one. The same class, I call it that. Asagami. I can't get my verbiage together. Asagami. That's it. Hasagami, asagami, is when a person is looking for someone of the equal class. They're looking for someone on the same level they are. Now, these are sociological terms. Now, the things you have to remember is, under these three classes, people date. Now, what does it mean when a person is talking about dating someone for hypergamy? They're looking for someone who is going to enhance their lives in a way that will make it better. You see a lot of people that go for like the high value man, HVMs. Now, it doesn't matter what status the woman is going for a high value man. She could be an LQW, low quality woman, but she could have aspirations for a wealthier man. You look at people like Kevin Samuels when he was talking to the women on his show, Rest His Soul. A lot of the women had some real challenging situations. I remember he had one woman that was 5'3 and weighed 180 pounds. And she talked about she wanted a high value man. But the reality of it was, there's only about 8 million single people that made over $100,000 a year in 2023. Now, I mean, 2022, excuse me. And with that, there was even a smaller number of straight men in that group. So even though she's shooting for that star, she may find somebody along the way that may present themselves as such, but may not make that kind of money. Or if they do make that kind of money, there may be some consequences or terms with it. Doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's all bad. But when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? The same thing can be on the flip side for a man seeking a woman for hypergamy. The only difference is the man is usually looking for beauty more so than money, but he would be looking more on a hypogeny side, where he's looking down for a woman that he could bring up. Wealthier people use isogamy for the most part. They're looking for someone on their same level. You look at Bill Gates as an example. Who did he marry? He married a woman with an MBA. He married a woman who made six figures a year minimum. So he married a woman, well, she was worth more than six figures back then, because she was one of the people that just started with Microsoft. But here's the thing. He didn't go downward. He didn't need to go too much higher, because there was not too many people that made more than he did. And she was in that category, in that zone. And so we have to face it. We talk about compatibility. A lot of people use that as their measure of compatibility, your social status. Now, you will usually find women trying to climb the ladder to hypergamy. And the reason for this is because statistically, women still make less than men. Now, the problem is there's a thing called effort. You know those four questions I tell you about all the time? Who are you? What's your strengths and weaknesses? What drives you? What's your passion? And what are your intentions for the future? Well, if you look at effort under passion, that's what they would like to see. It's nice to dream and say what you would love to have, but if it's not feasible, it's nothing more than a dream. Well, you are in union with all the rest of these other women trying to find someone that will breach
that state of normalcy, trying to find someone that will bring you up, which means they would have to reach down for you. And that's the reality of it. Because your beauty has some value, your shape has some value, but it's very marginal compared to what most men are looking for on that level. Because they can find a beautiful woman, they could buy a beautiful woman, they could buy her love for him. So that's no big thing. Even though that he knows that she doesn't love him, he could buy her with a lot of limitations. Stay with me 5 years, you get $3 million. They could have that in a prenup. There's some wealthy men, Jack Welch, many others, that would marry women, and someone would have a timestamp on them. When they turn 35 or so, too old, gotta go. It depends on that person's agenda. Now, when we talk about her pergamy, the only thing you have to look at is Cinderella, the prince, the status and wealth, and Cinderella. That was one of the lowly plebeians, commoner. You could look at Prince Harry and his wife. You could look at King Charles and Diana Spencer. Before they married, she was a commoner, marrying into royalty. And symbolically, some people will put the person that they seek through hypergamy in a class of royalty based on their values, the things they're looking for. Now, of course, there's some disappointment because many of those women don't make it. And some of them make it and then get jettisoned. They could tell you about all the celebrities and superstars and everyone they had dated, but they will take that rejection that they received from all those and use that as clout to lord over other men that they feel as though are beneath them. And they will use that as leverage. And then they could pick who they want to out of the well through hypogeny. This is where you hear some women say that they settled for a guy. When you hear this, what that means is that you weren't the best choice that she had, as she sees it. You're just doing fine as you are. Because there's a sense of being replaced that she may want to constantly have you vigilant about. So therefore, you go this, that, and the third in order to try to keep this woman. You guys will spend, you will go into debt because your goal is to keep her. And with this leverage that she has, she can determine how the relationship's going to go. She can determine how much you're going to have to shell out to keep her interest. And usually these women will go for a handsome guy with a good career and low self-esteem. It's just like some men do when they go for the attractive woman, especially if she's wealthy and famous, who has low self-esteem. And where do these guys usually go for these women? They go for the younger women. Some of the controversy based on what you hear now in the news is based on that dynamic. You get this hot, beautiful girl that's going to be going and blowing up the charts. But you still have her trying to get to your level. She She's still chasing the carrot. And when she is discarded, there are other men underneath her waiting to get with her, vying for her attention. See, what happens a lot of times, usually after they seek the guy that they can't have any control over or with, they'll leave that relationship or the guy will dump her and she will go for someone that she can control underneath. Might be one of his beta males, who knows? But it will be someone where she will feel comfortable in her skin with. Now, some of the risk of women doing this, they may become too cavalier and become abusive. They may also fall into a situation where they may not be taken seriously by the partner that's of a different class than they are, because he may not realize that he won the lottery, so to speak. Not necessarily monetarily. I was in that position when I was with Monica. I didn't pursue her, she pursued me. So with that, it was like the first thing you start doing is becoming very skeptical about something being wrong. You have all this money, you have all this exposure, all this wealth. You could get anyone you want. Why me? That question. Some of you ladies ask that question when a man chooses you of substance and of means. And then you click your heels waiting for it to end, waiting for the reality to kick in. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's the way the relationship is. That person genuinely wants you. But that's very rare. It's not a norm. I know a lot of these female dating coaches are out there selling you a whole bunch of stuff about chasing a high value man. He has to have $300,000 a year salary. He has to have $3 million liquid and all this other crap. Ladies, He's going to ask more of you than you think. More than your vagina. More than your kisses and hugs. More than you're sitting there listening to him. You'll realize that relationship's going to be a full-time job. It's going to consume you. Now, the other thing you have to consider with this as well, you have this man, and there are certain things you have to do. Now, if you are genuinely into him and genuinely love him, the first thing you got to do is reassure him that, hey, I'm not here to use you. I'm not here to exploit you. You're someone I genuinely love. And of course, if they're famous or whatever, yeah, you're going to have to talk to them about Gen Y. Is adapting a lot better. Gen Z's got it. Gen Alpha's got it. And what we're doing, we're learning from those two younger generations about acceptance and tolerance. Because when we came along, if a person said they were gay, transgender, bisexual, lesbian, that was an automatic no from society. And these people had to live on the down low. There were some that were out and proud, but not that many. The price was too high to pay. When it came to interracial relationships, same thing. Even though interracial relationships have existed ever since mankind had existed. But we don't want to talk about that, do we? We don't look at Anthony and Cleopatra as an interracial relationship. It was. We don't think about it, though, because of the way they're presented in movies. But that's the way it goes. We've had a lot of those throughout the centuries. Now, The other thing we have to look at is that, I have a feeling, just as that, I think Cleopatra has some good pussy, because the only reason why I say that, I don't mean to say this flippantly, but from what I've read on Cleopatra, yeah, she had no hangups. But, you know, a woman that can be with a relative, have a baby by Julius Caesar, and then be with Mark Anthony. That's a lot. But that's in the history books. But what we have to think about is we have to look at our core as humans. What is the most valuable things to us when it comes down to being with a partner? I go on TikTok and I see a lot of women in their 50s, Gen Xers all day long, complaining about men. Men are this, men are that, bad dates, horror stories. He's not paying for dinner. He walks out. He's asking me to go Dutch. And what this does, it heaps on to the negative experience they might have had in their marriage or in relationships. And what some of them have to realize is that the dating environment has changed immensely. Men are not spending the kind of money they used to spend on dates anymore. The reason why is because if they were to go all out every time they went out on a date with a woman, they would be broke. Some guys are limiting themselves to 2 dates a month. Others are having a lot of cheaper short dates every month. It depends. One guy wrote in the show, he spent $2,500 in 1 month on dates. His take home was about $6,000 a month. He could afford it. But here's the thing. He hadn't found anyone. And a lot of times, the guys are looking beyond the physical aspect, ladies. They're looking at certain things such as, what will they have to contend with? Just like you, look at us with a microscope. You can say no to us at any point for any infraction. A receding hairline. Mustache is too long. I don't like his beard. He's too old. He needs to dye his hair. You can literally say these things to a man on a date and expect him to accept it. A man can't tell you things like that. If he wants a date with you, if he wants to still date you, because you would consider it rude. But on the flip side, it's socially acceptable coming from you to him. This is the double standard that many men run into problems with, among many other things. Because see, there are some women out there that want things equal as long as it's at their advantage. When it's not, they want to be the first one to say, I'm a female, you're the man, take care of it. These men are appreciating more independent women that aren't rah, 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 girl power. They don't want those women. The women they want who are independent, confident, and they don't have to go and externalize their independence, because it reeks from them every time they have a conversation. That woman has no problem getting a man in this modern era. That woman who's venting on these lives on these TikToks, demeaning men, those kind of things. The only thing you're attracting, ladies, are men who look at you as a challenge. And what they want to do is they want to prove you wrong. They're not looking for a relationship. They're looking to prove you wrong because, as they see it, you gave them some sort of challenge. And they're going to take you up on it. And they don't give a damn what kind of emotional damage they will do in the aftermath. And the problem is, it makes it harder for a decent guy to wind up talking to you or being with you. Because he's now muddied the waters. And after a while, what happens with many of you ladies? You'll get to a point where you start forming opinions about men in general. But you have to remember, the only opinion you can form are the men that you've attracted to you or that you've chosen to be in your life. Now, a lot of women don't like to hear that word, the man I chose. Chose. You have more choices than we do. And if you're consistently choosing the wrong man, there is something wrong with your selection process. Maybe you need to change things up a bit. Maybe you need to really do a self-assessment on what's going on with you. If you're attracting the same type of, these guys are not going to comport themselves to your whatever you want. Where you're expecting every man to just fall right into that box that you have for it. Doesn't happen that way. Just like you're consistently attracting men that you Now, there's one thing that you will need to know, fellas, especially you. There's a term called exclusion. And this is what a lot of women will use for the guy they're not looking for. I don't care how nice of a guy you are. I don't care how good of a guy you are. I don't care how close you've been as friends with her. If she excludes you, she's not interested. Women make their determination about a man very early because they're very observant, very detail-oriented. But let's talk about the reason why some women make poor decisions in selecting a man. Now, I told you in the last segment that women may not vet the guy enough, get to really know him, to see certain things about his personality. Asking him about who he is as a person, not what he does, not what he has, not what he lives in, not what he drives. Tell me about you. Now, the way he responds will determine a lot of things. Now, fellas, when you do this with a woman, when you vet her and ask her about herself, how many times have you done this? And the woman has started opening up, and man, it's like, damn, okay, when can I get her to kind of shut it down a bit? Now, if she's not opening up to you, she's not comfortable. You have not met your mark on that, where she sees as though she could have a cerebral conversation with you that will be and somewhat engaging. What she sees is, I can't wait until this date is over with. So it has to be an engaging conversation, not an interrogation, not an interview, but where you can just casually talk to her and she could talk to you, and you guys can exchange your background, your upbringing, some of the things you like, some of the things you should know about your partner after the first date. You should know what her favorite color is, favorite flower, what she likes doing the most, what she has a passion for. You should know what are some of the sensitivities she may have. As far as she may not like horror movies, for instance. You should get to know these things about her. Because what you're telling her is, I care about you as someone I would like to have in my life. So therefore, I'm asking you these questions in order to get to know you and familiarize myself better so I will know how to address your sensitivities and better way of protecting you and a better way of compromising with you. Now, it's not a championship wrestling contest where you're trying to outdo each other. It's a situation where you're genuinely being honest with that person. And what they're looking for, what women are looking for here, is exposure of vulnerability. A lot of men don't like doing that. And fellas, let me tell you something. If she doesn't see that, that's a red flag for some women. Because they look at it from the standpoint, oh, he's kind of closed up a bit. He's kind of vague on things. They take that into account. So you want to open up. And you don't want to make the conversation about you. You always want to ask them questions about them as well. Because you want to get to know them. You want to find out maybe what's their favorite drink. You want to find out maybe what would be their ideal vacation. Those kind of things. So when you guys have more conversations, it's more of a bond. Now, the one thing you want to avoid is mirroring. Mirroring is when you, whatever she says, you agree with, or vice versa, ladies. If a man hears you marrying him, he knows then, okay, I won that battle. So we're going to go out. We probably date. I'll be the lead on this. She's just going to be in the background. She's on the back seat. You don't want that to happen, ladies. Fellas, you don't want that to happen to you either. You want it where it's kind of mutually respectful. And you guys can actually not only communicate, but be considerate. Being considerate means listening, interactive dialogue with them, asking follow-up questions with them, without interrogating them. You just want to know. And there may be a few things she may reveal that she's kind of conscious about, but it's kind of funny in a way. It could lead to a bit of levity where you could probably tease her about it, but don't overdo it with the teasing. Because she's flattered by that. Because now she has someone that can laugh with her, not at her. Ladies, do not go into that self-deprecating humor of talking about how fat you are, about how you have stretch marks, how you have a fupa, how your breasts hang or whatever. He wouldn't be there. He wouldn't still be there if all of those things offended him. What you're telling him is, I may love myself, but I don't like myself. The goal eventually, when it comes to dating, is to be liked first, loved later. Because, see, what happens once you establish that familiarity with each other, you guys eke out a rhythm. And as you guys get closer, you guys come up with pet names, code words, terms that you use. You have your own little dictionary and vernacular of things. And the relationship runs even smoother. And here is the thing that's really going to show a lot. A level of integrity.
So if there's something during the day that may challenge your integrity of doing the right thing when nobody's looking, and you do the right thing, she may notice that. So the gratuity was 20% and you gave 25%. She'll keep that in mind. Not for her benefit, but from the benefit of knowing that he's fair. Simple things like that. So the problem is a lot of people are still stuck into the old era of aesthetics. They're stuck into how a person looks, appearances. Relationships require far more than appearances. Now, as I told you before, if you're just looking to date someone, you're not going to be able to establish a relationship because of the fact that the only thing you guys are going to do, have a few things in common and see how quick you can get into the bedroom. Hookup culture. When it comes down to you establishing a relationship, you lay the foundation of a friendship, and that relationship lays over it as the foundation for you to build a family and everything on. So you have the friendship at the base, the relationship on top of it, and whatever you guys decide to do on top of that. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, you may love someone that may be of a different class. Let's take, for instance, you're above their class by society standards, as an example. And your family has an issue with you stepping down in class. Well, they may take some of the frills and benefits from you as a protest. Maybe cut you out of the wheel. Maybe tell you you're not going to be next in line for the family business or the inheritance or something like that. Please understand there's a consequence, there's a cost to making autonomous decisions. And a lot of people, they just don't have a stomach for it, which means they are not ready to make that challenge. They're ready to conform. So those that are willing to really go for that person because they love them, and this could be across racial lines, gender lines, whatever. The thing they have to realize is that they're going to have to really consolidate their efforts as friends and eventually as lovers to weather the storm. Because see, society is going to be the headwinds that you're going to have to face. They don't think you guys should be together. And that's a hard one to go through, especially in countries that have entrenched cultural barriers and norms. It's very difficult, extremely difficult, because it not only brings shame to you, but to the family. And so the family would have to disown you in order to stay in compliance with the rest of their constituents. You know, remember when Barack Obama was running for president and the Jeremiah Wright thing came up and how he had to step away from Jeremiah Wright? Well, in essence, the same concept applies sometimes when you make decisions on who you love. And remember, you may lose some people along the way, your friends, your family. But then again, you may gain some support from the very people that you thought would be against you as well. Now, the other thing too, with this, there are going to be a lot of rumors, a lot of lies, a lot of insinuations by people that don't know a damn thing about your relationship, but they're making assessments. What do people do
when they don't know something. They come up with conspiracies. They judge so they don't have to think. Oh, that interracial couple shouldn't be together. They should be separate. They should find their own kind. But if they were to think, maybe they love each other, and they love each other so much that they have chosen to be together and to weather the storm and deal with all the consequences associated with their being a couple. Because people would like to bring up the kids, right? You have children. They use that as an Achilles heel. These couples have already thought about those things. And they're already navigating some sort of way of rearing that child or rearing those children in a way that they see fit. And the reason why I address this more so than anything is because I look at what happens now with this whole abortion issue. The majority of people that are for it can't have children. I'm talking about that are for the Roe v. Wade being repealed. The majority of those people are the people that can't have children. But they're thinking that it should go back to the way it was when they were around. And this is one challenge you will have in life, folks. And some of you ladies reaching for that hypergamy of a man, you're going to have to understand, too, that there's a good possibility that guy had to struggle and bust his ass to get where he is. And guess what? You may think because he's letting you in that it's going to be all peaches and cream. He could want you to go through that same experience he went through. And you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? You know, you hear celebrities all the time talk about wealthy people that have made it. Oh, I didn't give my kids a silver spoon. They're going to have to work for everything they get. They get nothing from me. I'm going to spend all the money. I'm going to give it all to charity. They got to start from scratch, just like I did. Really? So what does that tell you about that individual? Very centric. Self-centered. I did it. Why can't they? It's just like the same people that I run across all the time. Oh, you know, I know you say you're legally blind, but, you know, the only thing you got to do is get some glasses. Oh, really? I got several pair of glasses. Shit didn't work. Oh, the only thing you got to do is pray more. But that's not going to help. Well, the only thing you have to do is you really need to concentrate more. I've heard that one. Ignorance from lay people. You just need to smoke more weed. I don't smoke weed at all. I had four friends of mine. All had glaucoma. They all are blind now. I'm the only one that could see out of that four. So apparently that didn't work because they quit taking their medication. Because it eased the pain. It doesn't do anything for the disease. What you'll realize, folks, symptoms may not be the actual problem in anything. Cheating is a symptom of a more serious problem in your relationship. There was a lady that was on TikTok the other night, swearing up and down she could not date a man. There are some women out there, believe it or not, that would love to be told no by a man every once in a while. Why? You remember I talked earlier about EDS women? Well, a lot of them, not all, but many, had grown up in environments where they were left to their own devices to make things work. But they never really had any guidance. A lot of them had punishment,
if they fell short of what was required of them, the expectations. And some of them will go and do things and then regret what they've done and said, you know, I wish there was someone there that would have told me no. Or at least been objective, where I could really think about the decision I made before I just went in there and made one decision after another, made one bad life choice after the next, on and on and on. There are a lot of people that do that. They're on a cyclical cycle of bad choices in life. Nope, didn't fuck my life up enough yet. Let me go and try this. Oh, almost there. Damn it. I need to fuck it up a little bit more. Let me try it this way. And before you know it, they've exhausted themselves, worn themselves out. I see this a lot. I look at some of the profiles and personal ads on Bumble especially. There's a lot of angry people out there. Boy, they got in that biography and that area about what they don't want. And that list is long. It's like, wow. And you know, it's really a shame in our modern era that I have to actually put in my profile, no married or separated women. I know they're lonely. I know they may feel as though they don't have anyone. But the way I look at it is this way. As long as you're in that marriage, you're happy. Why would I ruin it by intervening? Whether you're married or separated. So I don't want to be a part of it. Now, if you were not so happy, you would have already divorced. You would have already resolved the issue. And then you have those that will say, well, you know, I need money for an attorney, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you needed money when you first thought that you needed a divorce. So what has changed? What efforts have you put forth towards that? A lot of them haven't. They're waiting for a man to come in and pay for the divorce. Guys, you'll be the biggest fool in the world to do that. You'd be the biggest fool in the world to assume responsibilities that a father should have with a woman you're not married to. Move her in if you want to. Start paying those bills if you want to. Start taking care of those kids if you want to, like they're yours. Boy, but if you guys split up, you know, she could do some damage. She could get her a good attorney. She could do you up pretty good. So you really have to watch your risk. You really have to take your time with it. Know your laws and your communities, your cities, your counties, your states. They're going to be essential for you if you're talking about cohabitating or getting married. So you'll know exactly what the consequences are if it fails, just in case a person tries to go there. I know emotionally we assume that the same enthusiasm a person had when they met us is the same enthusiasm they'll have when we split. That is not always the case. You should have some sort of agreement up front about if things didn't work, how you guys have a process of decoupling in the event things don't work. I know that sounds unromantic. I know it sounds absurd to some of you. Why would you tell somebody about breaking up when you... Because you never know. You guys may be together for 7 or 8 years. And then the relationship ends. And then one party may feel as though, well, you know what? I put in my money in this relationship to rent this house. I put my money in to pay the phone bill and go down the list itemizing. They get an attorney, they come to you, they expect to be reimbursed. These are things you have to look at. See, this is the business side of relationships. This is not the poo-poo, kiss, hug, and all that other shit. This is the reason why the show is Romantic Truth, because we talk about it. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your ass. Now, other things we have to look at, too, in this quagmire of things. We have to also look at the person you're with. Are you going to be making a lot of corrections with them? Would they have to be rebuilt in order for you to date them? Yes, fellas, there's some women out there that really want to rebuild you from the ground up if they date you. They want to change the way you dress, the way you behave. They want to modify all of these things. And you may be uncomfortable with it. You might be a t-shirt and blue jeans guy. And you might have conflict over that. Well, I'm not going to your damn party. Well, I don't see why. The only thing you have to do is wear a suit. I'm not wearing no damn suit. You have some guys that like that. So therefore, your selection process has to be really, really focused. You're not looking for perfection. Get that word out of your vocabulary. Don't even think about the word perfection. That will get you in more trouble than anything else. Because just when you think someone is perfect and you find one flaw, you'll probably go apeshit. And it may be a major flaw that you weren't aware of that was dormant. Please understand also, if you do get with someone and you start dating them, be prepared for an X factor. Something that they have not revealed to you that they may reveal later on after they get to know you a little bit better and it's more comfortable with you. Usually that comes after the commitment. But if it's something of an immediate threat that you should know about up front, it would help immensely. If you have some sort of condition, or if there's some sort of legal issues that you're dealing with. I went out with a lady one time years ago. We're on a date. That's when she tells me she has warrants. Failure to appear. And I told you about the one lady I went out with, and she insisted on driving her car. Me driving her car to the dinner instead of me driving mine. We get pulled over. Her tags is expired, and I told her that before we left. She said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I got an extension." But she did not. Asked for my driver's license, gave them to her, gave the insurance papers to her car, found out the car was registered to her. And the only thing they had to do was go back to the squad car and come back. They had to take her in. She had warrants, failure to appear to traffic court for numerous times. A whole glove box full of nothing but just traffic citations. And to this day, I still don't understand why she had me drive her car. It was only obvious. I guess she thought that by me driving her car, nothing would happen. She was wrong. Something she could have told me about early on, but chose not to. Women lying about their marital status. That's a red flag. Fellas, if you ever duped on that one where she's married but lied and said she was divorced or single, widowed, don't deal with her. Another type of woman that you want to be very wary of. Take for instance, on your profile, you said that you don't want to have any kids, don't want to deal with any children.
And she tells you something like, well, I have kids, but, you know, they won't be a problem because she's going to dump them off to her parents' house or something like that. If you remember the case of Susan Smith back in 1994 in South Carolina, what had happened with her, she had had an affair with an executive in her company, and he broke up with her because he didn't want any children. So what she chose to do was, unfortunately, put her kids in car seats and drive them into a lake and swerving down a black man head, carjacked her and took the kids, only to find out that she did this so that she would be more acceptable to this man. Again. The case of Susan Smith was an extreme case, but what she was doing at that time was chasing hypergamy, a higher class. So she was willing to end the lives of her two children so that she could be with this man. This man had already told her, thanks, but no thanks. Some women will go to establishments where they really can't afford to be, wearing knockoff jewelry, knockoff products, and may feel embarrassed when people start snickering because they see that that's a fake. And they associate what that person's wearing with who that person is. Again, judgment. Because they don't have to think, they can judge. Now, the one thing I want to leave you with this podcast is that no matter who you're pursuing on what level, whether you're looking for someone on the same level you are, beneath you, above you, you have to find the foundation of who you are in yourself first. And that will determine where you need to go. If you're looking for someone that's bringing you something more than you already have, more than likely you're looking for somebody with hypergamy. If you think you're the shit and you're gonna bring somebody else up to your level, hypogeny. If you're looking for somebody on your same level as most people do, that are in relationships and marriages now, then you're looking for someone on the same level. Isogamy. So in any case, it's up to you. It's your life, your choice. The thing you have to concern yourselves with throughout your existence, the life choices you make. When you can sit back and look at some of the life choices you made that altered your life, it's very easy to differentiate the good, the bad, and the indifferent, right? Did you learn anything from those experiences? Have you changed anything within yourself based on those experiences? Or are you getting the same results you got before, still making the same perpetual mistakes? I know you may like something. Something has become very familiar to you. But what you don't want to do is start familiarizing yourself with failure. This is why when I would hear women say something to me like, well, yeah, I hope you're different from the rest of the guys because, you know, I went and I rented apartments and co-signed for cars. And the first thing I'd ask them, how many times did you do that? Oh, I did it with every boyfriend I had, 5 or 6. She hadn't learned her lesson. I'm stepping away. Who's going to step in my place? An opportunist that loves to hear a woman say something like that because that lets him know, oh, she's vulnerable like that. I got me another victim. A guy who has morals and standards, he's not going for that. He knows better. Now, a couple of other things we have to address here before we go. When you're dealing with someone that's hung up on status, prestige, that may be their running agenda with you. And if it is, please understand that's the value they see in you and nothing else. As Maya Angelou once said, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. The worst thing you can do is to become delusional and start adding shit on that's not there. There have been people that have written this show who have thought they were in relationships, but it was all in their heads. And they would write all the things that they had done for these people. And the person barely acknowledged their efforts. And when they would try to chastise them and put it in their face that, hey, I did all this for you. And they said, well, I didn't ask you to do that. We're not really in a relationship. Why are you going this, that, and the third? Nobody asked you to. But yet these people get upset because people take advantage of the opportunity that they've given them. So you take them to a concert. They didn't ask to go to that concert, but you're trying to do it to get closer to them. But that person apparently doesn't want to be close to you. They'll probably be wanting to get closer to the group than you. You know, I had a friend of mine years ago. I talked about her before. She used to she knew how to play guys like a flute. And she would tell me, she said, well, if there was a guy that I knew I was going to use, I liked him, but I didn't like him enough for a relationship. I liked what he did. I didn't like who he was. She would tell me, I would always make it a point to go to a concert or go somewhere where there was a lot of music where I didn't really have to listen to him or talk to him. And then I could end the night very quickly. And she had this thing where she would go out on dates with guys because she had this gate and you had to know the gate code to get in. She'd go tell the guy to park his car. Meanwhile, she'll go through the gate, close the gate, go upstairs, go to her apartment, leave the guy in the parking lot. Again, the guy's doing too much. He's going too far. He's the one that put himself out there. And they get mad when a woman takes advantage of that. And fellas, you have to understand, if she's telling you no, you're not going to win her over. You're just going to waste your money. You're just going to be used. Like many of the guys I see at the bar, will go and order drinks for everybody, put the card up there at the bar with the bartender. And then the lady will go to the ladies' room, call her girlfriends up, free drinks. These girls are coming. He's happy because he has all these women around him. And the one he wants to focus on is not interested in him. And she's doing her best to have her girlfriends to kind of dissipate the situation. Meanwhile, the girlfriends are also going up, running up his bar tab. And all the guys are looking at him in envy. And trying to go over there and trying to see if they can get one of the women from the table themselves. And you'll hear them say something like, well, you know, he's playing for drinks. He's paying for my girlfriend. She's not interested. But then again, you have a book of morals that you go by. So do other people. But the thing is, they may not coincide, but may conflict with yours. And sometimes what people will try to do, they will try to overcompensate, and you don't have to. If you guys are incompatible, so be it. Remain incompatible. But the one thing you got to remember, if you force a relationship and the person just reluctantly goes along with it, I hate to say it, but you get what you deserve on that. Because they're going to give you the warning signs that they're not interested. And it can be kind of tough, but see, you cannot personalize rejection. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong, especially some of you guys that have seen your dad where mom never said no to him on anything. And some of you think you can take that on the road with women. Shit doesn't work that way. No means no with a woman. If she tells you she's not interested, or she goes and tells you, you know, we'll be good friends. What she's telling you now is, I'm putting some distance between you and I with that word. I remember when I first dated Monica, I said, so when do I get out of friend zone? She said, honey, you're not in the friend zone. She said, you're in the danger zone. You have no idea what I have for you. It scared the shit out of me. Because in some situations, you don't know where you are. Some people don't give you a read. You go out with them and you don't have any label on your arrangement. And you guys go out for several weeks. There's still no title. She hadn't asked you for a commitment. You're going out. You're getting to know each other. You're talking to each other. You're texting each other. But you don't know where you are yet. And then sometimes people are too gun shy to ask about the status of where you are. It's always good to know where the hell you are. Two things that I was taught in life. The first one, know where you are. Second, know who you're talking to. Because those two things you never know. I was with Monica at this one event. It was a fundraiser. And I was talking to this guy, and we were just cracking jokes and laughing because what had happened, it was a formal affair. And this guy comes in, that was the biggest damn bow tie I ever saw in my life. I mean, it looked like his neck was just resting on, his chin was just resting on. And every time you look at him, it just looked weird. And so the guy came over and he started laughing. He said, did you see that? And then he introduced me to his wife. And then Monica introduced me to him. And the guy worked for one of the major banks, top level exec. Didn't know it at the time. But one thing I did, I treated him with respect. Even though I didn't know who he was, you always treat people with respect if you don't know who they are. Because you never know who may be able to become a constituent or to assist you in life. You treat everyone with respect. I know it sounds fundamental. I know it sounds something that you should have gotten at home, but you'll be surprised some of the people who don't. They actually think that respect is something that is not necessary. As I told you before, one of the clients I used to work with, he told me, he said, one thing to remember. He says, with a wealthy person, you have to lose our trust. With a poor person, you have to earn it. And I saw what he meant in many of the circles that I was in from that. And it had a lot of validity. Well, folks, I've talked to you enough today. We will carry on tomorrow, different subject, different time, place, and matter. So I want you to stay tuned. I thank
those of you sending in the support letters about the show, thank you for appreciating the show, listening to the show. And true enough, we're not on a broad scale like some of these other podcasts that have millions of listeners and all the rest of that. But we do what we do here. Because the reason why it's not popular, because you have to think. A lot of people want action. They want drama. They want controversy. They want me to talk about Puff Daddy. They want me to talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce. They want me to talk about other... That's not the forte for this format. I stay away from it as much as possible. Because of one thing. It doesn't relate to you, the listener. You're the ones that write into the show. You're the one that dictate what topics we talk about. Nobody else. I don't even do it. Hell, when I open up an email tonight, it may be something that will be a good show for tomorrow. And I'll go do my due diligence and research on it, and then we'll do it tomorrow. That's the way it works. But that's the beauty of it, because we address different topics. So the main thing to keep in mind with, of course, the EDS, they may face a lot of challenges, but be understanding and talk to them. Because many of them have a lot on their shoulders, have had a lot on their shoulders throughout their lives. And it may be something that they will have to work through. The other thing, with the classes of people, you see that no matter which class you're associated with, at some point, you may find someone that you love that may not fit within one of those classes. They may be of another class. And you have to make a decision as to, is it worth it? When it comes to relationships, you always have to ask that question. Is it worth it? The risk, that is. Take care, folks. Love you all. If you want to write us, romantictruthpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a message on anchor.fm/romantictruth. Take care. Talk to you guys on tomorrow.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.